This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans-Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, let's get world famous. World famous. McLean leg hiking live from Kansas City. Let's start out with the running backs for the Houston Texans, Duke and David Johnson. We will see Duke and David Johnson on the field the same time a good amount of times tonight in Kansas City.
It depends on how you define a good amount of time. It's David and Duke Johnson, by the way, because David is the starter. I think they will have some packages, but if you put them on the field a lot, who are you going to take off the field? Wide receivers, tight ends, but there will be sub packages with the Johnsons to try to create mismatches. So I'll say, yes, you're right, Landry.
I got one for you, and let me go back on what you just said there. You said that Duke comes after David because David is a starter. Duke is a returner to this organization. David is a new face, hadn't showed us anything yet. I'm riding with Duke first and then David. And after tonight, maybe that'll change, but I feel you, John, but I got to beg to differ on that one. Now, my question is this.
Hold on, Wade. So let me ask you, when you won a starting job,
yes,
and you were number one on the depth chart, it was your first year, so I should put your backup ahead of you.
Well,
though you won a job,
if we had two Smiths on the roster, and both of us played the same position, but like one was right guard and the other one was left guard, and both were Smith, I would expect you to give that Smith over me because that Smith has already been here. Yeah.
Yeah, but these guys play the same position. So I'm always going with a starter.
Okay. Jordan Akins is going to be a bigger impact tonight and this season than Darren Fells will be.
I agree. First of all, if I have to do this, Wade, I want to apologize for hiking it on you. I like doing it with Landry and doing it to Landry and John, but I apologize to you. But I agree. You look how Jordan Akins improved last year in his second season. He can line up anywhere on the field. I think that defenses will be very careful about Darren Fells in the red zone, especially when they get inside the 10-yard line. And I think Akins will stand out this season. So, yes, I agree.
World famous McLean leg hiking live from Kansas City with John McLean. The Texans made a mistake letting Jordan Thomas get away to Arizona.
Hiking, Figgy. They got three tight ends on the roster. They would have been forced to keep four. He could have signed with the Texans practice squad, and I don't blame him wanting to go somewhere else where he's got a chance to at least be the backup. You know, here we're talking about Jordan Akins having the best season of a tight end, so he would have been number three at best. If they'd liked him all that much, they never would have exposed him.
John, DeAndre Hopkins. Contract that he just got lets you know that he should not have been able to been here with the Houston Texans based off of the numbers. Are you in agreement with that? Or are you going to like your legs on that? And I'm going to follow up after you give your answer because I have a feeling what you're going to say.
If Hopkins had not wanted to redo his deal, he'd still be here. They weren't going to redo it with 3 years left. If he'd waited till after this season, then they would have redone it. And if he'd have signed the same thing, he's getting $18 million a year, counting his two-year extension. So I think he could have got it next year. So I can't remember what the question is, so I'll say don't hike it.
The question was DeAndre Hopkins. Should he have been here? Should the contract that he just signed with Arizona been the catalyst to get him up out of here? Like, basically, the numbers that he signed, does that make it tell you, like, all right, the Texans made the right move by letting him go?
Well, I don't think the Texans made the right move letting him go. I think they should have kept him and just see how it played out, because there's new rules this year about holding out. But they didn't want to go through another deal like they had with Jadeveon Clowney. So I wouldn't hike it.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire making his debut, his NFL debut tonight for the Kansas City Chiefs, will have over 20 touches.
Boy, he's a terrific receiver. He is the starter, but they got so much talent with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman. 20 touches for the rookie, I'll agree. I'll say he'll get at least 15 carries and 5 receptions. So, yes.
The combination of Jacob Martin, Charles Amenihue, and Ross Blacklock will have more than a sack and a half tonight against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I agree. I would agree with that, Wade. I think Jacob Martin is poised for a breakout season. When he only played an average of 20.5 snaps a game, but over the last 6 games, he was in the 30s, and he played even more in the Buffalo playoff game when he had a sack, and then he also recovered a fumble. I think of all the players on this team, he's the one I look to have the biggest breakout season.
All right, last time the Texans were in Kansas City, we saw DeAndre Carter fumble a kickoff. DeAndre Carter will be returning kicks and punts today for the Houston Texans.
Absolutely. They don't have anybody else. He's the returner. He's a backup slot receiver. You know, that fumbled kickoff return, short touchdown, O'Brien's bad call on fourth down fake punt, short touchdown, giving up Hardman's 58-yard kickoff return. Special teams, just after making great plays early, I have never seen such a discrepancy in special teams plays, awesome to awful in one game.
I'm going to flip the script on you, go to the other side of the ball. The Houston Texans will allow over a second and a half from Chris Jones and Frank Clark.
How many?
A sack and a half.
Just sack and a half between those two. Yes, I agree. I think even though the pass protection improved a lot last year and they have all 5 starters back, those two guys combined for 17 sacks last season, Jones inside, Clark outside. So, yeah, I think they'll get more than one. They'll get at least 2.
All right, 2 other guys on the injury report. World famous McLean leg hiking here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, world's biggest pregame show. Colin Gillespie and Jonathan Grenard most likely will not be active tonight.
Absolutely not. Gillespie had maybe he came back to practice this week, but he was a spectator at training camp because of a knee injury. And Grenard is behind physically, and then the fact he didn't have a normal offseason program, he's just behind.
John, due to the fact that there's not going to be many fans in the stands and it's going to be a little bit of a different production, they're probably going to try to accentuate some of the sideline stuff that goes on. We're going to hear multiple cuss words by multiple teams tonight, opening night of the NFL.
You know, it's funny. I watch the NBA and you hear them yelling, but I have yet to hear a cuss word. Maybe I haven't listened closely enough. Plenty. But I'll say, yes, there's going to be crowd noise coming over TV. So I don't think at home you'll hear any cussing, but I think the people in the stand sure will.
Jack Easterby will be wearing a headset tonight.
No, Jack Easterby does not wear a headset.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty now. John McClain with us live from Kansas City. Let's go ahead and put you on the spot. Let's get a prediction for tonight's game. Texans versus Chiefs, 7:20 kickoff right here on Sports Radio 610. Mahomes versus Watson, Volume 3.
I picked the Chiefs to win the game 37-27.
37-27. There you go.
John, is there going to be a scenario where they're going to jump out early on the Texans and the Texans are going to fight back, or is it going to be hard fought and they'll pull off at the end?
in every playoff game, the Chiefs had to come from behind. You know, how long can they continue to live like that? So it wouldn't surprise me if they don't fall behind again. Texans were notorious slow starters last year, and the Chiefs were too. But in the second quarter, the Chiefs scored 177 points. So I'm going to say the Chiefs are going to get out on them early.
All right, John McClain, live from Kansas City. Thank you very much for joining us at a special time. We appreciate it. We appreciate the information, the insight, the news live from Kansas City. Thank you very much, John. By the way, I want to give you one more leg hiking, and I got to warn you that this guy's coming on the air with us in 20 minutes. Before you get out of here, Wade Phillips should be a Hall of Famer as a defensive coordinator.
I was nominating Wade this year for the Hall of Fame when we voted on the coaches. I'm on the coach committee. And the Hall of Fame said he was still coaching, and I didn't think he was. I said, okay, then I'll nominate his daddy, and I'll get Wade next year if he's not coaching. So, yes, Wade's one of the all-time great defensive coordinators. I've known him since 1977, and I believe someday, because we have a coaches category and a contributors category, which gives us more opportunities, I believe that Wade Phillips will be in the Hall of Fame.
John, you talk about it all the time when you mention in the Hall of Fame that if you can't write the history of the NFL, the story of the NFL without mentioning this person, then they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. There's a bunch of offensive line coaches. There's a bunch of guys that I feel like should be in there that position coaches really don't get mentioned. You're talking about Alex Gibb. You're talking about Hudson Hauk. You think about Emmitt Smith and you say to yourself, all right, he's a Hall of Famer. You can't write the story without him, or you can't write the story without that offensive line. You can't write the story without Joe Bugler and the Hogs out there in Washington. Like, are these guys ever going to get an opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame?
I'll say this, Wade. We got to get some head coaches in there first, and then they'll go to coordinators, and eventually they'll go to position coaches. A position coach that deserves it the most to me is Clark Shaughnessy, who invented the T formation that we take for granted now. He was a head coach, but his best success was when he was an assistant with George Halas and changed the game. If they change the game, those are the ones that should be in there first and foremost.
All right, John, we appreciate it. Enjoy it, man. I know this is always a fun time for you. It's going to be a unique experience, but it's just great to have football back. Thank you very much as always, sir.
Landry and Wade, thank you guys very much. Enjoy the game tonight.
It's the great John McClain. Speaking of the game, we are 8 hours and 7 minutes away from kickoff here on the world's biggest pregame show, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. A simple question, and I think it's the biggest question of the night for the Texans. Is the Texans D stiff enough? We'll discuss next.
The D stiffened.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the Kickoff Countdown. We're less than 8 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
Will the D stiffen tonight for the Houston Texans? I'm not going to lie, Wade. I'm very worried about the Texans defense. I'm worried about them in 2020, but I'm more so worried about him with the Kansas City Chiefs. Because when you just lay out the ways in which you stop the Kansas City Chiefs, it seems like there's so many moving parts that even if Anthony Reaver plays one thing right, it just seems like there's so many other things that open up with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, man, you talk about the Chiefs' offense. They have deadly weapons. They have guys that will put you to sleep. We're talking about Travis Kelce. You're talking about Tyreek Hill. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like these guys, and you haven't seen Clyde yet, but you saw what he did at the college level, and you project he's going to do an excellent job with this Kansas City Chiefs offense. Pat Mahomes, that can make plays when you do everything correctly. You can get the pass rush on him, get him to scramble. He can be rolling the wrong direction, rolling to his left, throw across his body, and throw a 35-yard touchdown pass. That's stuff that you really can't account for, and so it makes you nervous a little bit. It makes you concerned when you have to step up against a team like that, especially when you have so many questions on the defensive side of the ball. There's a lot of questions with what's Ross Blacklock going to look like as a rookie? What's Eric Murray, who is supposedly the starting safety?
Who?
You know, what is he going to look like out there on the field? Is John Reed going to get meaningful snaps in this game against the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh,
like,
my.
Is A.J. Moore, the captain, is he actually the starting safety or not? I mean, you know, is D.J. Dunny, is Brandon Dunn, is he going to be able to hold it down now that D.J. Reader is out of the fold? There's a lot of questions that are that there's no way for you to really have a real idea of what the answer is going to be. Because you haven't seen him at all this year. I haven't seen any preseason games. I haven't seen any practices. I haven't seen anything with these guys. So there's a lot of anxiousness. There's a lot of anticipation of what's going to go down against the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's not like they're playing slouches. They're playing against the best offense in the league last year, and they've brought everybody back. And so there's definitely reason concerns to have concerns with the Houston Texans defense tonight.
Here is Brandon Dunn. We're answering the questions about the Texans D. Will it stiffen Wade Smith in for John Lopez during the world's biggest pregame show here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Here's Brandon Dunn talking about if there will be a void left by DJ Reader.
What do you feel like you guys will do to fill the void with DJ gone?
Oh, man, it's a culture that was set. Next man up, next guy up. The void will be filled. There's no void. I mean, he's going to keep playing and keep pushing. We got goals of ours in our room that we're striving to hit. He's going to keep getting better every day.
All right, so he says the void will be filled. Okay, I like your confidence, DJ Dunny, as Wade Smith calls you. My thing is this, Wade, and you try to look at things and you try to lay out how you stop the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's just pretend that – you're going to put Bradley Roby on Tyreek Hill, and you're probably going to have a safety over the top. Okay, that's cool. They've done a good job on Tyreek Hill the last 2 years, so awesome. Tyreek Hill, you're handling that, Bradley Roby, and you have a safety over the top. Travis Kelce, he's a tight end. He had 3 touchdowns against the Texans last year, the last time these teams played. How do you handle that situation? Just any way in which you could possibly handle that situation, whether it's putting a linebacker on him like Zach Cunningham, you're taking Zach Cunningham out of the middle of the field where he's been known to make plays, whether it's using a safety, you're taking that safety into the – if you do that, then all of a sudden you're leaving Sammy Watkins and Hardeman man-to-man basically. And I think on any other offense, I think there might be a time when Hardeman demands a safety over the top. I think it's possible that – Hardeman takes that next step, and he's a dangerous guy. So are you going to put John Reed man-to-man on Sammy Watkins? I know Sammy Watkins hasn't lived up to his contract, but Sammy Watkins has made some big plays in his career, including in the Super Bowl run. So you're leaving those guys open. You also got a running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield who can make plays. There's just so much that happens. And by the way, Pat Mahomes extends plays, and he has one of the best arms in the NFL. It just seems like of all the questions that we ask and the approach that you have to these elite players in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, regardless of what you do, it opens up the field for other guys who can make plays. And I just don't know that the Texans have enough depth in the secondary to be able to stop the Sammy Watkins and the Hardemans from making plays. Because no matter what you say, Wade, those guys are going to there's going to be a lot of man-to-man on Hardeman and Sammy Watkins no matter what you do. And even then, you're still in a dilemma with the way you see things. I just don't feel like I feel like Anthony Weaver's basically playing it's an uphill battle to say the least. And there's so many moving parts. And the moving parts just seem to shift into the favor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and you mentioned all of the players that the Texans are going to have to go against, but you didn't even mention Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid and their play calling and ability to be creative with what they do. And so it is a tough challenge that the Texans have in front of them. But I would look at it like this, man. Defensively, the Texans need to take their best cover guy. Their best cover guy's name is Bradley Roby. You need to take that guy and say you travel with either Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, and you got them man-to-man all day. If there's an opportunity for you to have help over the top at certain points, you'll get it. But for the most part, you got that guy all game long, and we're gonna just live with the results there. Then you have to take the other guy. So in my example, I would say you take Bradley Roby.
This is a lot.
That's what it's going to take against the Kansas City Chiefs. You take Bradley Roby and you say, you know what? I want you to just shut down Travis Kelce. If I feel like if A.J. Bouye can do it, Bradley Roby can do it. Okay. I've seen it happen before. I think Bradley Roby, at this point in his career, is at least as good as AJ Brewer, or maybe better. So you put him on Travis Kelce, and then you take an off corner and a safety and say, you guys double Tyreek Hill wherever he goes.
The problem with Boye doing it, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Wade, but the problem with Boye doing it is they didn't have this many weapons when they did. They didn't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They didn't have Tyreek Hill playing at an elite level. They didn't have Hardeman. They didn't have Sammy Watkins. So, yeah, stop Travis Kelce. That just opens it up for everyone else. My head is going to explode thinking about this.
But see, this is the thing. You have to eliminate something. You have to eliminate something, because if you give them access to everything.
Prevent the whole game.
Well, the prevent that you do is you keep them off the field. I mean, at the end of the day, the best way to stop the Kansas City Chiefs offense is to have them standing on the sideline watching football instead of playing it.
I always talk about basketball, and three-pointers win basketball games. They don't necessarily win football games. I think between the 20, inside the 20 is where the Texans defense, they were the worst third down defense and the worst red zone defense in the league last year. You have to, at certain times, you're not going to stop the Chiefs, but you have to have them settle for a couple field goals. You have to have the Chiefs settle for a couple of field goals. The sit here and stop the Chiefs, that's not realistic. But when the field shortens up, when the speed becomes less important and less effective, that's when you have to be better. That's what the Texans are going to have to do, and that's where stopping the run and Brandon Dunn and stuff is going to come into play, because it's going to be damn near impossible, because once you stop something, it opens up an opportunity for something else. You're going to have to hold them to three a few times.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Texans can't play them straight up. That is not the way that you're going to slow down or beat the Kansas City Chiefs, by playing them straight up. Guys, wherever they start off, whatever gap you start off in, they can't end up in that same gap. There's got to be a lot of slanting. There's got to be a lot of blitzing. There's got to be a lot of dogs by the linebackers. You've got to see the Texans throwing the kitchen sink at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
because if
can I get
you,
a cliche, Bell?
I mean, you got to. Because if you do not, if you just say, you know what, we're going to do what we do, we're going to line up and play, you're going to get taken advantage of, because they have the physical matchups, and they also have an advantage when it comes to just scheming. If you can confuse Pat Mahomes, if you can confuse the offensive line, you can get you some free hits on the quarterback. I don't want the Texans, and I don't expect the Texans to shut
twist
down
the ankle,
the Chiefs.
Be nasty.
You gotta be a little dirty.
Be nasty.
You gotta sweep the leg every now and again.
Be
you
nasty.
Know what I mean? You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Get
if you
dirty.
Get DQ, to get DQ. But you need the Texans to get those free hits on Pat Mahomes, confuse him with your coverage disguise, because you might not have the horses back there, but you can confuse Pat Mahomes, because Pat Mahomes, he said it himself, he didn't really know about reading coverages until
He's
recently.
Lying. He's lying.
I don't believe that.
He's lying.
He threw that ball up to Tyreek Hill in double
He's
coverage.
Lying. He's lying.
And it should have been an interception.
He's lying.
I mean, Pat Mahomes is a talented guy. He's a very talented guy. He's the best quarterback in the league
He's
right
lying,
now.
He's lying, bro.
But there's always a flaw.
He's lying.
Nobody's perfect.
He's lying.
You got to find it.
He's lying.
Hey,
nasty.
Yeah.
We need some nastiness. Let's just compare the nastiness, because we need some nastiness with the Texans. Texans defense has got to bring that nasty. They got to match the nasty of the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know if this is going to make you feel better or worse as a Texans fan. Let's just compare the nasty. Here is Frank Clark, the defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs. This was after they beat the old Oilers, the Tennessee Titans, in the AFC Championship game. This is just a little bit of the nasty that the Texans are going to be facing today when the Chiefs host them, 720 Sports Radio 610.
That's two games each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we weren't going to win the game if we let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards, they call him the best rusher in the league. We're sending this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media saying,
back. They must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, there's no change. Look at the. We're the best world.
Go join.
All right, that's a little bit of nasty, but I think the Texans can match it. That's Frank Clark nasty. Let's let Jacob Martin, outside linebacker for the Houston Texans, let's let him match the nastiness of Frank Clark, because you're going to need it. Jacob Martin, match that nasty, baby. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Jake Martin. I play Leo here. We're a big martial arts family, so I was in martial arts early. played soccer, did gymnastics, you know, those kind of things. Oh, yeah, I did kung fu and, like, wushu. That was pretty cool. I grew up having a whole bunch of pets, 3 guinea pigs and a hamster and a fish at one time, to having 2 dogs. So we had 2 German Shepherds, Bella and Kofi. I swear by Halo. I think the best Halo is Halo 3. You know, I think the best. I think Halo is revolutionary to first-person shooters. So that's a game I admire.
Oh, no. Let's go.
All right, let's get nasty.
Was that Chief Keef that I heard, or was that Frank Clark?
I don't know.
That's what he sounded like. He sounded like Chief Keef when he was talking crazy last year.
I'm worried
year.
About yeah, the nasty.
Drive-bys for D-Void, and hey, it's not quite the
I'm
same.
I'm worried about the nasty.
They grow up in Cleveland, so. Okay.
One of the most eventful days in the history of the city. Plus, you want to go inside the mind of Anthony Weaver and everything going through his head? Let's talk to one of the best defensive coordinators of all time, Wade Phillips at Son of Bum, joins the show next.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, Anthony Weaver has quite a predicament in front of him. He's got one of the best offenses in the NFL last year, and he's got a guy in Clyde Edwards-Helaire who there's no tape on. So what exactly is going through the mind of the Texans' first-year defensive coordinator? What better man to ask than our next guest, Wade Phillips, one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the game. Mr. Phillips, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, in for the OG John Lopez. Thank you very much for joining us, sir.
You bet. Glad to. Yeah. Sorry to hear about John's mom.
Yeah.
Our prayers are with him.
Yeah, she definitely did a good job raising Lopez, although I don't like to admit it on a daily basis. She did a very, very good job.
Me too.
I want to ask you, Wade, because you're one of the best defensive coordinators to ever do it. Anthony Weaver, heading into a matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs is hard enough. But when you have a running back that they selected in the first round, the first running back selected in the draft, and there's no tape on him, how exactly do you prepare for that? Do you watch his college tape? How do you prepare for something like that in the type of situation facing Anthony Weaver tonight at 7:20?
Well, all the information you can get, certainly. But, yeah, you can look at college stuff and see, you know, what kind of runner he is, a bounce runner, a slash runner. You know, Wade knows those things, you know, speed guy, you know, inside runner, outside runner, some of those things you can get, but, you know, they're going to stick. I mean, they won the Super Bowl last year, so they're going to stick to their running game itself. You just got to kind of analyze how he's going to add to that, or whether he's a cutback runner, you know, what kind of runner he is. That's about all you can do.
Coach Wade, it's been a few days since the last time that your first go-around as a defensive coordinator in the league. It was way back in 1981 with the New Orleans Saints. Just tell us how you think Anthony Weaver is feeling the day of the game that he's going to call his first game, his first opportunity as being a defensive coordinator. You're going against an offense that is a formidable one like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. You'd like to be going against somebody besides the Chiefs, but and they have a heck of an offense. So, but, you know, I'm sure he's got confidence in his guys. And the players know him. I mean, it's not like he hadn't been there. So, and they know they can count on him. So, I'm sure he's going in with confidence. I mean, he's put together a game plan, you know, Kansas City is going to be awfully tough to stop. I mean, that's the problem, you know. Now, we stopped them when I coached, you know, when I coached against them, but we held them to 51, so I but we won that game 54-51. So the biggest thing he wants out of the game, and what we all want, is a victory. So, you know, no matter how it goes, as long as you can win the game, that's the key thing.
What is the mindset when you face this Kansas City Chiefs team? Because that was one of the best primetime games we've ever watched. Of course, Rams versus the Chiefs. Is it a bend-don't-break thing? Is it aggressive? What exactly is the mindset in that situation? That was one of the highest-scoring games in league history.
Yeah. Now, we scored twice on defense, and I think we had 5 turnovers, so We tried to be aggressive. They were awfully good then. They proved it last year. This quarterback is, I mean, you got two great quarterbacks, two great young millionaire quarterbacks going. So, that'll be the fun part of it. I think the defenses will obviously have some problems because of those guys are so talented on offense.
Wade, when you're coaching up a defense that has a couple of injuries at the defensive back position and you're playing against one of the better offenses in the league, and this goes for both sides of the coins because the Chiefs have some injuries in their defensive backfield and the Texans will be without Gerrion Conley, one of their starting corners that they were supposed to have out there. How do you approach those particular type of ball games when you know that you're not at full strength when it comes to your corners?
Help. I mean, you have to realize that you do have to try to give, no matter who you have, if you have some weaknesses, you try to cover those up the best you can. You have to help those guys as much as you can, but it's still got to be part of your scheme as to what you do overall, and whatever you do the best, you've got to try to do that and hope it works out, because it's not always the scheme, it's the players. So you got to make sure you put them in a position that they can make plays, or the ones that are weaker need to get some help.
Talking to Wade Phillips here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Is the first game of the season the right time to get a defending Super Bowl champ? Or do you want him in the middle, in the late? Are the Texans getting the Chiefs? There's never really a right time to face the Chiefs. But as a former coach, would you rather face the Chiefs early in the season, late in the season? When's the ideal time in your eyes?
Well, it's so much different this year. I mean, normally you would not want to play the world champions in their first game when the crowd, they hadn't played before their home crowd. So that first game, I mean, when we were with the Broncos and we won it, our first game was against Carolina, who, our fans were just absolutely crazy. I don't think there's any way we could have lost that game, because of the fans, greeting their, world champions for the first time is a tremendous atmosphere. So with all this going on, there's, without that great fandom, I mean, I think that helps some, but it's hard to play the team that won it the year before the first game, especially at home, because of the crowd. So since there won't be a crowd, it's hard for me to say.
Wade, you've been part of and led a lot of really, really good defenses and some great defenses over the years. And there's one performance that I felt like you put forward that to me is kind of unheralded and people don't necessarily acknowledge as much as they should. But that Super Bowl performance that you had against the New England Patriots a couple of years back, even though the team fell short, to me that was one of the most impressive game plans and execution that I saw out of a defense in a really, really long time. Is that one of the most special performances that you've been a part of, even though you guys fell short?
Yeah, I'd have to say that. I mean, you don't want to say a loss is a great, but I mean, they played as good as we could play. And when we won the Super Bowl at Denver, we held Brady to 18 points. We beat him 20-18. And then, when I was with the Rams, we lost, giving up 13 points to him. So, we played really well. We just didn't win the ball game.
One of your players in that game that Wade Smith just mentioned, and we're joined by Wade Phillips here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. He officially called it quits yesterday. I got to say, of all the coach and player interaction, I think my favorite interaction was you and Aqib Talib. I just want to play a little clip of y'all's interaction going back to Denver, and I just want to hear what you got to say about. He's one of our favorites. He can't give us enough audio. We love Aqib Talib, but I just want to go back when you were in Denver and revisit the relationship between Wade in Tlaib here on Sports Radio 60.
Am I dripping or tripping or what?
Let me get you dripping real quick.
Okay,
let me get you dripping real quick.
Now we're dripping.
Coach. So I've been hearing that you calling me and Chris the best corners that you coach.
Ever.
Tell us about that, coach.
Oh, hey. More and more, right? Best I've ever been.
Signing off Broncos TV.
All right.
Dripping, baby.
What was it like coaching Aqib Tlaib, Wade?
Well, you can tell. I mean, it's fun. I mean, you know, it's a fun guy, a great player, but he is certainly one of the best I've ever coached. So, you know, but he's a leader too. I mean, you know, he's fun to be around, and he was great to be around. And we won a lot of games. In fact, with the Rams, you know, that 13-3 game in the Super Bowl, he played with us for the Rams. So, you know, he's quite a player, but a great guy.
Speaking of great players and great guys as well, you know, you coached some Hall of Fame talent in the past. You got guys like Bruce Smith, and you coached guys like DeMarcus Ware. Where does J.J. Watt fit in that lexicon of the best players that you've been able to coach up over the years?
Well, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, it's hard to say one Hall of Famer. You know, Reggie White was awfully good. I mean, you know, and Aaron Donald, you know, has two times Defensive Player of the Year. I coached him the last 3 years. He's twice the Defensive Player of the Year. Of course, J.J.'s three times. So, I mean, J.J.'s one of the best of all time. There's no doubt about that.
Wade, we always appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for joining us. By the way, John McClain said he's going to try to get you in the Hall of Fame once you finally admit or actually retire. He said he's focusing on your dad now, but he said that he's going to try to get you in there, but he just said you're never going to quit coaching, so you're going to make it difficult on him.
Well, I don't know about that. I think they quit for me, so I'm forced retirement, but that's all right. I'm enjoying it, and I enjoy being back in Houston, that's for sure.
Wade, we appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
You bet. Thank you all.
All right, guys. Wade Phillips here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG Figgy Fig. It's one of the most eventful days in town. Let's play the hits.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, per James Palmer, Brandon Cooks has made some progress in the last 24 hours. He's going to be a legit game time decision. We'll see if Brandon Cooks makes his debut tonight or if he's on the sidelines when the Texans take on the Chiefs at 7:20. Here is Brandon Cooks talking about being traded so much. And dude got confidence.
You know, you look at all the trades, they all went for a first round, and this one going for a second round. I don't look at it as a negative at all. I'm a guy that adjusts pretty quick, and wherever I go, like I tell people, I'm going to ball. So I'm not worried about that.
I don't worry about that either. If he's out there healthy and playing, to me, he's the number one receiver on this roster. The problem is we don't know if he's going to be out there playing, but he's going to get you. He is a stack. You know, people talk about guys in basketball. He's a bucket. He gets the ball in his hand. He's going to be able to put it in the basket. If you talk about Brandon Cooks, if he's healthy, which he has been for the majority of his career, he's going to get you 1,000 yards. I mean, you take out last season with Jared Goff and the issues they had there with their offensive line. Brandon Cooks is a playmaker, and he's a guy that's very, very productive. 1,000-yard seasons out of four out of the last 5 years. So I expect him to have that type of year for the Texans. They need him tonight, though. If you don't have Brandon Cooks out there, that's a weapon that they made some big moves in this offseason, and they made big moves in order to change the way they approach the offense and putting speed on the field. If he's not there, that's a direct shot at that whole philosophy. So, you know, hopefully he gets back and ready to go tonight, but if he's not there, it's going to hurt the Texans.
We'll keep you updated up to kickoff. Pregame starting at 4:15 right here on Sports Radio 610. Rockets, 6 o'clock tonight, game 4 against the Los Angeles Lakers. Daniel House not going to play for the second straight game. Tim McMahon all over this. Apparently there are rumors that Daniel House violated bubble protocol. It was initially thrown out there that maybe he brought a girl into the bubble that was not his girlfriend or wife, per main team sports. Now there's talk that maybe one of the COVID testers decided to take a stroll into Daniel House's hotel room. I don't know what happened. I just know the NBA is not happy about this, and Daniel House is not going to be on the court for the second straight game in which the Rockets are facing the one-seeded Lakers.
Yeah, according to Chris Haynes, and you know he's right there on the ground floor.
He's there. He's
inside. There inside the bubble. He's been there for the entire time. He's the one saying that it was one of the COVID testers, a female COVID tester, that found her way into Daniel House's room. And so because of that, now there's issues with them playing. And Daniel House, early on in this series, he's top three player on the roster. And so him missing games for something like this, it's a bad look. But at the same time, I mean, if this is a tester, how do we know that, you know, this is something he set up? Maybe it was something she just found her way to his hotel room and said, hey, I just want to talk. And he just, you know, they've been around each other, I'm sure, for weeks and weeks and weeks
now. So when he's spitting at the cup, he's giving a little wink?
I mean,
he's spitting in the cup, winking.
Conversation is the first thing to get the WAP to happen. If you got good conversation, you can make the WAP happen quick, fast, and hurry. So maybe that's what went down. And hopefully we'll get a judgment before the game tonight. But sounds like to me this was in-house. This wasn't an IG model or something like that that came from up the street. If she's in-house, to me she's not violating bubble protocol, right? Because she has to be tested every day, right? So I don't know. I think Daniel House, y'all got to let that man play. When I first heard this story, I said, man, dude tripping. He's going to cost the Rockets a chance at getting to the next round. But now when you get more of the details, I don't know if you can blame Daniel House so much for this.
So that's 6 o'clock, Rockets versus Lakers. 3:40, Astros versus A's. They lost again yesterday. Tough one. 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth. They had a 2-0 lead. They wasted 5 innings of one-hit scoreless ball from Luis Garcia. Kyle Tucker unable to make a sliding catch. Astros still in pretty good position when it comes to the playoffs. 2.5-game lead with 16 games remaining. Let's talk to Zach Greinke about how he feels about the Astros' playoff chance. They've lost 6 out of 7 games, 7 out of 8. How does Zach Greinke feel about the Astros' playoff chances?
How difficult is this stretch for you guys, just given kind of the results you guys are getting right now? It seems like nothing's going your way.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Everyone makes the playoffs, so we'll be all right still. If we don't make the playoffs, then we didn't deserve to make the playoffs. So we still looking good in that case.
Protect them at all costs, man. Zach Greinke, protect them. Everybody makes the playoffs anyway, so I ain't worried about it.
And then he says, if we don't make it, we don't deserve it. So there it is.
And that's absolutely right. The reason, like, you look at, they've had a lot of injuries. They've had a lot of issues. But their division is terrible. The Mariners are not a good ball club. The Angels are terrible. The Rangers are terrible. The Astros are supposed to make the postseason. They're supposed to, at worst, get second place in this division. They're 22-22. Which is nowhere near what people thought that they would be at when you went into this season. But they have every opportunity in front of them to make it to the playoffs. They should make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, like Zach Greinke said, they don't deserve to be there. So I'm looking forward to seeing them get back on track tonight against the A's.
They're fine. Just got to survive the next 3 games. Justin Verlander, by the way, threw a 50-pitch bullpen, which is significant. Looks like he is going to try to come back. So the Astros just need to survive. 16 games, tread water. You're going to be all right. Are we crowning the Chiefs too soon? Are we putting the Chiefs on way too much of a pedestal? We'll cuss and discuss next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.